Good morning. Bow your head with prayer for me. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we've come to the climax of this service, your word to us, I ask you, Father, to cleanse my heart and my life and use me this morning to deliver the message that you have for all of us. May it be a timely message, a message of impact. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. How's everybody doing? Where's my brother Rick? I've grown into my jacket. It's a very old jacket. Come on. You know, it's interesting. Last Sabbath, Brother Mike Orchard preached his last sermon as he leaves for the entire summer to go to New York. And he preached about God things, right? You remember how things just kind of fall in place and come together? And I thought to myself, it was so interesting. I was telling Will this morning that yesterday afternoon, for no reason at all, I said, I wonder how Will is doing. I'll send him a text message, say hey, and he shows up this morning, right? And then earlier this week, I think it was Thursday, I put a reminder on my calendar. It's not a task. My calendar is for reminding me of things. And I put, where is John, the young man with a wife and two little girls? I'm in church. You can't make that up. You can't make that up. I'll show you my calendar, 10 o'clock. I hadn't seen you in a few weeks. Hadn't seen you in a while. God has him here this morning. That's really interesting, I think. Don't you think? So 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, Pastor Lucas preached his last sermon. Not for the summer, his last sermon with us. Yes? Who remembers what he preached about? What was that? The best is yet to come. So it's interesting that today the sermon is part two, right? Why reinvent the wheel? So we're looking at the part two. The best is yet to come, Operation Homeward Bound. I had to come up with a cool name. I had to come up with a cooler name, right? His message impressed me enough that I felt like I wanted to do this message. And actually, this message is my message in the sense that normally I kind of maybe rub you guys wrong a little bit. I get a little bit plain when I say things. Today, I'm actually speaking to myself. This message today, after the May 4th sermon, I thought about that. And I listened to that sermon again this week. And today's message is for all of us, but I prepared this message especially for me. Indulge me if you will. So the best is yet to come. In his message, he talked about the Israelites. Turn in your Bible, Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And as you're turning, I want to take the opportunity to say thank you to everyone that participated this morning. The service has been a blessing so far. And to those that sing, you know I have tremendous respect for you. You will not see me doing that. Thank you all so much. It's been a blessing. Isaiah 43, look at verse 16 through 19. It says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We serve a powerful God. And sometimes because we don't see him, we miss that fact, you know? But Scripture has evidenced that our God is a powerful God. Literally, physically, he has manifested miracles for his people. But the Israelites, if you recall, they kind of dwelled on the past. Oh, Moses, you bring us out here. We ain't got no food. You know, at least Pharaoh would give us a cheeseburger once in a while. Now we are eating onions and leeks. Come on, Moses. And oh, they fussed and they thought back to the past, right? And when they had victories, they dwelled on the in-the-moment victories, you know? They missed so much of what God intended for them. They missed so much of what God would have done for them. They weren't ready. They weren't paying attention. They were turning their backs on God. You know, in his message, as I listened to it, you fast forward to us. And sometimes we get hung up in our past. We get hung up in our failures. Okay, so you got laid off. That's awful. That's terrible. That's not the end for you. Okay, so your marriage didn't work out. That's awful. That's terrible. That's not the end for you. You know, you're in financial ruin and you file bankruptcy. That's terrible. That's not the end for you. You see what I'm saying? And the reason people sadly contemplate ending their lives is because they don't know the limitless power of the God we serve. They're not bad for thinking that. They're not exposed enough to God to know that he is bigger than every failure they just went through. Our God is bigger than every little miracle they think they have. Everything they had a hand in, everything they were positive about, every promotion they got. Our God is bigger than who we are. But somehow, we tend to live in this bubble where life is all about me. You know? And for us, we dwell on those past hurts, those past pains. We won't open up to God. We won't open up to God's people, right? Sometimes we get complacent. I told you I'm going to preach to myself, so don't think I'm hurting your feelings. Sometimes we get complacent in our good works. You see the air quotes? In our good works. We get complacent because, oh, we're good folks. You know, we're not out there at the bars knocking them back. We're not doing this. We're not embezzling the funds. We're good people. Aren't we good people? And we just kind of get settled on that. That's who we are. We're complacent. Sometimes I've been guilty of this. I told you I'm gonna sell myself out here. Sometimes there's so much happening in church. You know, next Sabbath, we'll start early. I don't have a speaker, so it's going to be another 4 a.m. for me. But by the time we're done with board meeting, it's going to be about 8:30, 9 p.m. And I might think, man, I'm tired. It's a long day. Can I not say to myself, okay, really, once a month? God's apostles did that all day, every day, twice on Sabbath. Huh? Didn't they? And here I am, oh, woe is me, poor me. I'm the only one doing this or that. You know? Come on. Do you know they didn't worry about a promotion? They actually let the jobs go. They walked away from everything with one thing in mind, one focus in mind. I will follow Jesus Christ, even if it means to the grave. How many of you guys have that forefront right now? That is most important to you. How many of us know right now, no matter what this world throws at me, if it's persecution, if it's death, it doesn't matter, because I believe a God is greater than any of this world, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with what comes of it. How many of us live that way every day? So we get complacent, you know? We think we got to occupy. We use that as that excuse. Occupy until I come, you know? What does occupy mean? You think occupy really means build another story up on the house and get the new model of the truck this year? Is that what occupy means? Occupy means you guys have a charge. I have a charge, a big responsibility. God is coming back one day. We're thinking, when? I've been hearing that. When? And, you know, God is coming back one day. If you don't believe that, you're in the wrong place today. If you don't know that right here, you're in the wrong place today. Or maybe you're in the right place. I don't know. So that message, the best is yet to come. We try to put limits on who our God is. You hear me? And we don't recognize that he has promised us from the beginning to the end of his word that the best is yet to come. Way back, you know, we think, okay, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and now there's this promise and the outpouring. Did you guys forget that in Genesis 3:15, he made a promise? He provisioned his son. Way back in Genesis and throughout history, when Abraham was about to plunge that knife, God said, nope, you're faithful. Hold up. Only my son will take that plunge. All through the Bible, God has proven to us he is the great I am. There is no other. And he says, I change not. So something in that message last 3 weeks back says, we get to thinking sometimes church is kind of boring. Why is it that Joel Osteen has 20,000 members, and if I were to count you guys, we'd probably have a little over 100? Does that mean we failed? So what's wrong with our church? Why is it so boring? Why don't we have a church school? Why don't we have this program? Why don't we have that program? Let me tell you something. There's going to come a day when you won't have a Bible. And what then? Look how much you have today. So if the church is so boring and it's just not fitting my needs anymore, what's the problem? And he said, and this resonated with me, the church did not change. The gospel message did not change. You changed. I changed. And that statement he made stayed with me. I called him this week, got his permission to do this part two. All right? It stayed with me, you know? And he proved it when he said about Kiki and Tree Tree coming every Wednesday night after work, making it there, and asking all these questions. They're just eating up the Word of God. And then we think, oh, well, it's just the new converts. They're going to settle in. How do you explain the older members that are just leading a charge in evangelism and they're always serving God? I'm going to throw a name out there. We don't like to say names because we want our kudos from the Father, not a pat on the back from our brothers and sisters. But I'm going to throw a name out there nonetheless. It starts with a Gloria and it ends with a Harder. Just to throw a name out there, right? And you know, she's got some physical limitations that I don't have. Her shoulder, her knees, her hand, just so much stuff. And man, every time you, is that Maureen? Welcome. Every time you see Gloria, she's organizing something. She's feeding some people. She's serving some people. That's what she does. Amen? And I'm not talking to just pat her on the back. I'm speaking honestly, an older member that's been here for a while that doesn't think church is boring. Do you see what I'm saying? And that list can go on, but we're not going there. I just want to make an illustration out of that. Throughout the week, when I'm worried about closing a deal and making my quota and that sort of stuff, that's important, right? Or making the deadline for the client, she's running the Alpha and Omega mission and feeding